Welcome back to another episode of Soma Soulworks Podcast. We are finally wrapping up our Stronghold series. This has come and gone with a couple interspersed ones, but boy, this has been a lot of fun, and we've learned a lot, and we continue to learn a lot. We could continue to talk about strongholds for quite a while, but you got to come to end of things and move on. So in the studio today is our co-host. We're going to have more episodes with Mark. We introduced Mark back on Sabrina's Holy Grieving episode, and he shared a little bit of story about where that took him. So welcome, Mark.
Hello.
And again, Mark, how did you end up on this team?
How did I end up? Well, we got to know each other at the Christian Game Developers Conference originally.
That's right.
That was what, 13?
2011.
Yeah.
Do the math. I can't.
Yeah, you were a speaker.
Yeah, I was.
Do you remember what you spoke on?
No, I just remember my PowerPoint going completely blank. my computer, I had to restart it. So, yeah, it was at that moment I could either do Michael Bay, walk off the stage. Did you guys ever see that?
No. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, it was horrible.
He's like, I'm out of here.
No, he did. He froze. He totally just, he could not get back on track. Literally just, it just overwhelmed him. And he walked off stage and the presenter of, I think it was Zenith or something, they were showing a new TV, like rolling out their TV and their main speaker gone. Walked off the stage.
Oh, wow.
It was just like, funny. Yeah, it was headline. It was crazy. But anyways, all that to say is the relationship that I developed with both you guys was a brotherhood. It really felt like that from the very beginning. And then we've always managed to stay in touch through just life and development. And I always knew, at least I always knew in my heart and was always looking for the opportune time of when to join hands with you guys. Yeah. And here we are now and being brought in.
And Mark is our heat for the whole, like we're eventually going to call it Soma Media, but for right now, Soma Games, Soma Soulworks. Code Monkeys.
Soma Soulworks.
You said it.
You said twice. It. John.
I did. I said it.
You were without delivered.
It just rolled you off my tongue.
Very nice.
Mark is Victory. The creative director for the whole company and all of the different pieces. So anything that's coming out of
lots
us
of different pieces,
on the website, on the socials or the podcast, it goes to a little bit of filter of like, is this past the test?
Right.
Whatever the test is, right?
Yeah, I guess we have to establish that bar. I don't even know if we even want to get that. I don't want that kind of pressure. I don't think we need that kind of pressure.
So we got Chris back again, of course, co-host, and Chris Skaggs. So as we've unpacked these strongholds, we've done recordings here. We're going to write a book with our Bootcamp Northwest brothers on this topic of breaking strongholds. The working title is Living in the Mindset of Christ and how that really changes us.
And I thought the working title was that stronghold book we're working on.
That stronghold book that we're working on. That's a big title. And on the podcast, of course, you can go back and listen to the first one, which was the framework, which we'll unpack a little bit again just for reminders. We did power. We actually kind of behind the curtain scene here, we did one on politics. It was interesting. We recorded it before a lot of it was in the midst of COVID, but it was before Black Lives Matters and not before Black Lives Matter, but it was before things really changed and the whole political scene changed and the world is changing so rapidly. By the time we went to publish it, it was irrelevant.
It was like 3 weeks old and it didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. In fact, Chris and I sounded like we crawled out of a cave someplace.
Yeah.
And so Christine and I listened to it on the way to the beach off of Dropbox before we even put it up. And I'm like, nope, not going to put that one up.
Yeah.
But we'll put that in the book, obviously be edited from that version. But we've done power. We did the stronghold of busyness. We have done money, and that was a good taste, and that was a good place to kind of cap it off and then dive into what we wanted to do is talk to Mark about how these strongholds, both the bad strongholds, the things that come from the enemy in our lives, as well as the good strongholds, how they affect or impact the lives of creatives, innovators, entrepreneurs, anybody that is in this audience of heading into or working in the media entertainment space. How does that play out in their lives? And so that's why we've got Mark here for this episode specifically. So anything, Chris, that you want to go to before we dive into maybe some questions?
I think as we've been playing with this topic of strongholds all along, what has struck me over and over again is how I think that the whole category of how we think isn't actually on a lot of Christians' minds at all. And John, you know, so much of what we've worked on the last 10, 15 years is about the heart, which is to say it kind of gets folded into maybe how we feel, for lack of a better word. But yet this idea, this battle for the mind and like what are our thought patterns, it's a huge, huge deal. And I think really neglected. Yeah. And even if it's not neglected, it hurts.
It does.
Right. And so there's this old saying, like, it's way easier to convince someone of something false than to convince someone that they're wrong.
Yeah.
And so like this idea of actually bringing our mind to Jesus and submitting to perhaps thoughts that are entirely foreign to us, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's painful. And it creates all this mess in our minds and our hearts. Like it's like next level work. And it's, the more I've thought about it, I'm like, wow, this is everywhere. And it's, like you said, we could do this series forever. You could make a career just on like the single thoughts that take root in our minds that go our whole lives.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're never questioned, if they're never brought into the kingdom, they can bear all kinds of very pernicious but also very subtle fruit.
Well, and speaking specifically on the creative side, it reminds me of time I've spent on the mission field. So you maybe instead of maybe going out into entertainment world, you have a young person who wants to change the world for God, heads out to, you name it, Thailand, Africa, wherever you want to go, like any place around the world. And they're gung-ho. They get there, and the first thing is they get taken out because of symptomatic things, pornography, lust, whatever it is, like those things come out because of pressure.
Yeah.
And instead of dealing with those symptoms, or usually people try to deal with the symptoms, but underneath it is a stronghold that never got touched. And so I like this idea of going after these, taking care of that stronghold and letting the other things fall off. I think in Power, we talked about how the Catholics see it as a pyramid. The seven deadly sins. And so at the base of that pyramid are the big, ugly sins of envy and avarice and the ambition. And at the top is lust. and these others, they call them the smaller stuff. And I'm like, what? That's small? But the thing is that you take care of the big base sins, the other ones start to fall away.
Yeah.
So Mark.
It's like the opposite in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Where we were talking earlier, it's like, seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And all these things will be added.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you take care of that one thing, that one core thing, and God will provide and add everything else. So I think you're right. I think we again, getting back to busyness, I know we're kind of backtracking a little bit, but that's just something that I think everybody really just gets too head down into is a busyness.
Starting there, Mark, in your perception, working in in your sphere for decades now, what do you see as the biggest strongholds that hit creatives and people in the entertainment industry?
I think performance.
Performance,
I really, really do, and it brings up the whole notion of imposter syndrome.
Okay,
and feeling like a fraud and a fake. I think people have to just front a lot in order to meet an expectation that I didn't even know where that baseline started. Mm. But it's really the root of it is they're coming into something and they already don't feel worthy. Like they're like privileged. It's not grateful, but they feel like they've been brought into an area that they might have some merit there, but they get into now the comparison syndrome. And they start looking around them to the left or the right and start comparing. Right. And then all of a sudden, all the insecurities start to well up. And then all the distractions. And then now it becomes performance driven to where, well, I'm not enough. Yeah. So now I have to really work at it.
Well, is it ever enough?
No, it never is. But in a natural sense. Yeah. But we've been given the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we have renewed our mind. It comes back to identity.
Yeah.
A lot of people will step in, especially creatives, will step in with half identity or maybe a slight understanding of who they are. And so they're kind of making it up as they go. But if you have an awareness of who you are in Christ and what he has paid for to have relationship with you and all the gifts of what it is that he's given you and the fact that you're not alone, that he co-labors with you, he wants to be invited into your life so he can help influence and he can help provide wisdom and truth and knowledge and joy. Mm. When you go in with that kind of armament into a battlefield, you can take pretty much anything because you're always going back up to the kingdom. You're always aware of your identity and you're not necessarily looking at your gifts or your attributes or those things that, yes, we are gifted with. But when it starts to become our performance, where we're looking outward to the validation of man or industry or talents or whatever that might be, and we're not looking upwards to the kingdom where that identity comes from, oh my God, you get into a world of hurt and you spiral down.
So I'm going to ask a question. So just for context, Mark's been in basically the AAA industry for a long time. I have no experience in that. Like we've been in indie shop.
What is AAA? For those that might not know.
Basically like the big studios, Atari, Lucas, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you have teams of hundreds.
Hundreds, yeah.
As opposed to we have teams of six, right? So like it's orders of magnitude different in budgets and scale and everything else.
Right.
So for example, I wanted to ask you a question. It's like in that space, this what drives this notion of performance? And is it fear that I'm going to lose my job? Is it trying to climb the corporate ladder? Like what drives that busyness?
I think what happens is once you start to have a very big court awareness of all of these different disciplines and talents that you're now in a studio environment, you're getting to see other people's gifts. You're now able to see other people's talents and their knowledge base and their experiences. Comparison inevitably arises and you're like, oh, damn. Yeah, I can't meet that. I'm only coming in with my little fish in the pond to what seems like a sea of sharks. And again, we have to understand that we are, the Bible says, more than conquerors. Yeah. That we are grafted into a royal priesthood. That we are given gifts and armament, the armor of God, and all these different attributes and these things that God, out of his grace and his love for us, wants to lavish on us. And somehow we get into this shame spiral of, well, no, I don't deserve it, or it'll never be enough. And that's just, like I said, that's dangerous. And I think that's where a lot of, again, that comparison syndrome, that feeling like a fraud and a fake, especially in a larger studio environment where there's a lot more specialists, people that this is all they do. Mm-hmm. Like you just have an environment artist. That's what they eat, sleep, and breathe, and that's all they do. But you might be a character artist, but now you're looking and you're like, oh, well, I wish my environment art was as good as that. Or audio design, coding tools, whatever that might be, it's never enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's, again, goes back to just a lack of understanding who you are and where your identity comes from truly.
Well, and it comes from this place right in the beginning. So if you're trying to get a foot up, you're trying to get a place in the studio, whether it's film or games, or trying to get a book published or anything published, you're in this competition to the get right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I guess, maybe like the worst thing that can happen is success, because then that person gets in as a young person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it begins. They're like,
and you gotta do it again and do it again and do
right.
it again.
It never stops. And so like the imposter, the poser, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
that just gets layered on, and everybody is there to kind of guide you in that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I think about the movie Jerry Maguire. We love to use that at Eclipse. It's a little dated, but I think it's still a great tale. He got into – so Jerry was a sports management agent.
Yeah.
he got into it because he loved the sports, he loved people, and his I love interspersed is his it's like this the mentor that he had. And I can't remember the mentor's name, but he's talking about like, don't forget why you're here and don't forget like what got you in the first place. Mm-hmm. But he forgets that because that environment that he's in, very much like the entertainment world, mm-hmm. it is dog eat dog.
Yep.
And you don't show any kind of weakness. And if anybody sees that blood in the water, like the sharks come and get you. Yeah. And it just kind of gets to this point where he has to have a breakdown. I love that term. It's either breakdown or breakthrough.
Spiritual.
Same word. Same thing. Breakdown, yeah. Breakthrough. I love this idea of being able to help these young people who are just coming up go after that right now. Mm-hmm. Like in my life as a creative, I didn't really get to that point until maybe in my 30s, like late 30s. Mm-hmm. And I'd already done a lot of damage on my own heart, but I think I'd lost a lot of years in creativity, like whether it was painting or filmmaking or, you know, recording, whatever mm-hmm. it is, like podcasts. And at 50, it's a lot tougher to untangle these strongholds mm-hmm. than it is for maybe a person who's in their 20s, mm-hmm. early 20s.
Well, the way you put it is like, it's usually in those 20s and 30s that we get tangled in the first place.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I hadn't thought about it in this context, but the way that you described it is there's this thing that Jesus says, like you'll be judged by the same measure that you measure other people, right?
Yeah.
And this idea of like, what do we use as to measure our success, our value, our purpose? Like what are the yardsticks that we're using? And when you talk about the Nirvana album cover, right? The baby chasing the dollar.
Yeah.
When we measure our success by whatever it is, that thing, if it's not the right thing, that comes back to bite us, right? Yeah. And so if we're measuring success from accolades, from mm-hmm. titles, from money, from like my name's on the credits of that, you know, top 10 game, whatever it is, if those things aren't rooted in the things that God measures us by, mm-hmm. then we're just chasing ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is we already have success as a Christian. Our names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no greater goal than that. And we've already got that from the get.
Right.
So yeah. Any other thing that we are trying to achieve is...
It's icing.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's getting perspective, people. It really, really is getting perspective and just understanding, again, going back up to the kingdom and looking and being aware of what's there and how pleased and happy that Jesus is and how desperate he is and how chasing he is and how jealous he is of you and having relationship with you that he died and you've accepted him and you're now secured in eternity with him. God, a promotion here on earth at this point?
Really? Doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, again, I'm not discounting that. And I think it's good to have ambition, healthy ambition. I think it's, you know, we're created in the likeness of God. And so we are creatives.
Yeah.
God's always created. Just because he created the earth doesn't stop. I still have visions and dreams that he's just still hurling galaxies together.
Right.
You know, he's just throwing planets into the cosmos just because he can.
Yeah. Right.
And so his attributes don't stop. It says he never changes. And so because we're created in the image of Christ, we are always desperate to create, to mm-hmm. strive, to accomplish, to achieve, but in a heavenly perspective.
Yeah. Did you see that article? It was in the newest Ann Sons magazine about the return to art. Yeah, because you sent me some shots of that.
Oh.
That's a wonderful article.
It really is.
And so the story is this guy who, I think he was a pastor. I can't remember the cat's name now. So he'd got into youth pastor, which became kind of a full-time. But what happened along the way is he had abandoned painting.
Yeah.
And so he gets into his, I don't know, 30s, 40s, I'm thinking, and he realizes that he is, I think in his own words, was something like he had abandoned his soul.
Yeah.
For what he thought was God's good. So in this case, like I think his goals were in the right place. He's trying to do the Jesus-y mm-hmm. thing.
But the Jesus-y thing.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
But what he had failed Jesus-y to thing. Do is recognize that for him at least, his painting was the Jesus-y thing.
Yep.
But it had no way to measure that except just the fruit in his own heart. Right. Like there wasn't any – he wasn't trying to sell these. That wasn't the thing. But his return to that passion – like all of a sudden bore radically different fruit in him. Mm-hmm. And the fruit has always got to be life. If it's not, you know, if Jesus' promise is I came to give you life and we're not getting that, then we're off track somewhere.
Right.
And life is almost never measured in accolades or in paychecks. I mean, there's 1,000 studies to prove it. And yet the temptation to to find that thing that we can monetize, that we can measure, that we can compare, right? So like, well, my game's bigger than your game, mm-hmm. right?
So it just reminds me, we have this idea, and it's come, I think, you know, my kids are in their teens, going into college. Your kids are in teens. You know, Chris, your kids are headed into that. Odin's about, is a teenager, you know, the very beginning.
Yeah.
This idea of giving awards to everybody for right. for just showing up.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. I got to take a sip of coffee. That's really gross.
But if you pull back from that, what you're saying is, you know, there are some really good runners, or there's good painters, or there's good, you name it, mechanics. What we're trying to say is, like, you take away from that kid's glory, and you're giving it away to everybody, whereas those other children, they all have glory in different areas.
Well, you know, it's funny. I go back to the old movie Robin Hood with Kevin Costner uh-huh. and Morgan Freeman, and a little girl comes up to Morgan Freeman and asks him, hey, did God paint you?
Right.
Morgan Freeman's African-American.
Right.
And he's like, did God paint me? And he's like, for certain. And she's like, why? And he says, well, he believed in Allah. But he said, because God loves wondrous variety. I thought that was such a great quote. We are all given an individual fingerprint.
Yeah.
We are not meant to be homogenous and the same.
Right.
We are meant to walk in our gifts and our anointings and our callings. The yeah. Bible talks about, not to get religious, blah, but, you know, some are called to being pastors and,
yeah.
you know, apostles and all that kind of stuff. Now, take it into the 21st century, to where we have all of these different vocations and disciplines and arts and communities that we can go into. And we're created for all of us, diversity.
Right.
For that. And, you know, which again brings back to the comparison syndrome. Why are we trying to compare ourselves to someone that has a different fingerprint than ours when we are called to walk in a particular calling, mm-hmm. as it were? And it's only by seeking first the kingdom
yeah.
and getting, you know, partnered with Jesus and having some conversations with the Holy Ghost, just saying, hey, what was I constructed to do?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's the answer is already in your heart. You already have kind of a bubbling and a churning inside you, which you know you want to do. Like you were saying, Chris, this guy, he loved to paint. He loved to create. He loved to visualize, you know, things on canvas or what have you. But he also, you know, felt, well, maybe that's just not enough. Maybe I need to go into pastorship. And he had blessing there. And I'm sure he blessed a lot of people
yeah.
in that. But there was still something lost,
mm.
a part of his fingerprint that was never really realized until he stepped back into it. And he's like, oh, all of a sudden he came alive. What makes you come alive?
Yeah.
That's really the crux.
Yeah, it really is. We talk about this idea of calling, and when people are trying to figure it out and determine, like, what is my calling? And it's that idea of what do you do? You look up at the clock and it's 5, 6, 12 hours has gone by and you don't even know.
That's usually how long it takes me to write an email.
That's
not my calling.
but if you look at that, it's that where you delight and you feel you just lose time, space, and you get enveloped into that. And I think if I look at strongholds as maybe their role, or both good and bad, is the bad side is the evil one uses these strongholds to take artists out, to take mm-hmm. creatives out, to take innovators out. So whatever they were meant to do on this earth by God, that's kind of like the primary piece of that. And I think other people's strongholds play into that. I yeah. think of this idea in specifically in the video game culture, but this happens in just about any creative culture, is this idea of crunch, where it's a 24/7 around the clock. And the big studios are really guilty of this, mm-hmm. of just eating artists up. Eating yeah. programmers up.
They're just a fungible resource, man.
They are. Like, and I remember.
And that's how you feel. Like you got a barcode in the back of your neck.
Oh, well, and that, and this happens in corporate culture too.
Oh, yeah. Marketing. I mean, there's deadlines, lawyers.
Yeah. We're going to interview our friend Aaron McHugh, and he talks about this one CEO that he was under. And she said, I don't care. There's a dozen more just like you. Like, I'll just eat you up. Your time, your life, wow. because I can get another person to fill your seat. And it was like, whoa. But then in that idea of crunch, that plays in, because if you got a guy sitting next to you and a gal, like if she's willing to work 90 hours and you're only working 80 hours, then you got to up it to that 95.
Comparison syndrome again.
It never stops.
Comparison syndrome again.
Because it's doggy dog. And like, if you don't, you'll get fired or looked over. You will get passed over for the next game, the next movie, whatever that is, the next deal. So that it's like a shackle. Mm-hmm. So first, before we shift, like we've been doing in the Stronghold episodes in the framework, before we shift to that's the fruit. Before we shift into the major theme of this, as far as like God's truth in strongholds, Mark, tell us a little bit about your story and your path in both. Where did you find yourself in a stronghold as a young creative, and how did you find your way out of that?
Well, again, getting back to identity, just looking around and seeing what the world deemed as arrived, air quote, arrived, using that as a measuring stick, you know, and in an unhealthy way. And again, not understanding who I was and what I was gifted, you know, by God, and that I have a Holy Ghost. So I'm not alone. There's always a guide. There's always a source. There's always love, a dispensation there to carry me and to co-labor with me. Fast forward at LucasArts, the first day that I came to LucasArts as an art director over Star Wars Battlefront.
And how old were you?
This is 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were like 65 then.
Shut up. Anyways, it feels like that sometimes, especially early in the morning and cold mornings. Anyways, so Star Wars Battlefront, art director, LucasArts, first day coming into this larger-than-life studio, huge building at the Presidio campus in San Francisco. Taking the elevator up after I passed the stormtrooper security. Literally, stormtroopers. It's hilarious. It's so cool. So, little man worship, little geekiness going on there, but it was very cool. Anyways, heading down to my office on the second floor, and as I'm walking down the hallways, floor-to-ceiling murals of probably some of the most amazing inspirational and concept art that isn't published. Wow. This is all private collection of Lucas's and ILM and whatever, just... you know, Jedis with lance-sized sabers, force jumping up through a walker and splitting it in half like a bread loaf. You know, wow. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. You know, I mean, out of this world stuff. And so by the time I get to my office, I stand 6 feet tall. I felt like I was 6 inches. Like I had oppression on me. I had imposter syndrome on me. And I remember looking before I turned on my computer, looking at the glass monitor. I could see my reflection, and it was a real moment. And I said this verbally out loud, and I've told this story many, many times. And I looked at myself and I said, "What do I have to offer this place?" Mm-hmm. Really, I did. It was that kind of a moment. And imposter syndrome just was all over me, like just a cold blanket. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit just start to warm my heart and melt and dispel the war for my will that Satan and even my own identity was trying to oppress the truth of who I was and how I was seated with Christ in high and heavenly places, and how I'm more than a conqueror, and that he lavishes gifts upon me, and that he is just so proud of me. There's nothing that I could ever do to get out of his love, because it's just crazy love. The more that I started to understand that, and I looked at my hand, and I noticed again the swirl of my fingerprint, and said, "I am unique, and I am meant to be unique. And there are certain things that, yes, while I don't embody and encompass all of the talent that this studio, Lucas, has to offer, there is a fingerprint that is unique to me that I do have, partnered with Christ to be able to dispense and give back and mentor. You know, there's a reason why they brought me in. And when I was sitting with my executive producer, this is on my 60-day review. And he said, he gave me this very sobering, he said, "Mark, you're not the best artist, you know, and as an art director, you have to be pretty good." And he says, you're not. He said, "What we brought you in for is you direct really well. And you're able to find the greatness in people and pull it out of them and show them who they are. I was like, holy crap. And this guy doesn't know God at all. Again, God's gifts are without repentance. He has an anointing for this stuff. He just doesn't know necessarily the source it came from. He's just operating in it. But that just, again, I looked at my fingerprint and I'm like, there it is. I love to do art and I think I'm pretty good. They're way better artists than I am. But that really just lit something up in me. And it's true. I was finding as I was going out to this studio of a sea of talent, of some of the most amazing men and women that you've ever had it just known. And seeing that they have fears, they have insecurities, right. That they all believe that they're frauds and they don't belong there. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not alone. You all feel this way. We all feel like we're losers. But at the same time, through the Holy Ghost and through the anointing, I was able to, again, speak into them and lift them and challenge them and create expectation and a drive in them to not perform, but to be ambitious and hungry and realize who they are in that sense. And that was awesome. Mm. And I've been trying to apply that in my walk to today.
Yeah.
Wow. That whole word of like diminishment and disqualification.
Right.
And, you know, the enemy's right there chipping at your ear. Like, ugh.
You were talking about how it's a mindset. And really what it is, it's a war for our will.
Yeah.
Our mind. It's a war for our mind.
It really is.
And if you really think about going back as we're created in the image of God, we are literally prophetic beings. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Why is that? God spoke everything into existence. He launched words out of his mouth and things came alive. Mm-hmm. And so if it's a war for our mind and our will and our emotions to get us to speak either good or bad, that is going to manifest in the atmosphere. That is going to trigger in some fashion. So if the devil can take the innate power in us as created beings in the image of God and use that to facilitate it for evil or for malice or for destruction, then he's taken an instrument that God created for perfection and good and joy and peace now to its opposite. And now out of our own ignorance, we're loosing damage upon a world that God created, on men and women that he created.
Yeah.
And it's a war for our will. And again, getting back to identity and having the mind of Christ so that we're loosing words of truth in the atmosphere and we're charging by weapons of warfare that aren't carnal but are supernatural and spiritual. As soon as we get into that stage and understand that we're not alone and that we are seated in high places with Christ, we could do some crazy wrecking damage. Yeah. On the gates of hell.
Well, I want to riff on that because we talked this morning there's this idea in the space trilogy where Lewis talks about that, that a bent man is more dangerous than a broken man. And that these weapons that you talk about, they're real whether we use them for good or for evil. And we do damage one way or the other.
Yeah.
And that's a sobering thought to think that our words are just the impact of our lives, the glory that God gives us. Those gifts are given without reproach. And it's not just that we use them for good or they sort of like evaporate. That can happen. But with a person, when the enemy can really twist us, now we use those swords and we kill our friends, right? Mm-hmm. And we're damaging our families and we're damaging our coworkers.
Or we're damaging ourselves.
And ourselves.
We'll actually turn the weapon on us and start hacking at each other and cutting ourselves, as it were.
That's a terrifying thought.
Stuff's real. It really is real. And yeah, while it's romanticized in movies, but when you really bring it home and you start to get quiet and get perspective on this. Oh, it's sobering, but at the same time, it's exciting because with your hope in Christ.
Yeah.
And the fact that we aren't in this world alone, that he is with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. God, what an amazing promise. Mm. That should just fill us with such joy and hope that we just, we can't wait to run out the front door.
Right.
We should all be walking 3 feet off the deck because we're so elated and excited about just wielding weapons that are going to just charge the atmosphere with life and love and bringing people up. Yeah.
I think of this, we talked a little bit about it in the Power Stronghold episode, is this idea of how the church just forfeited their role in entertainment, in the 20s. And, and then instead of joining forces and being a force for good, for God, in films and books and games and these things, they tried to create their own little kingdom. And you, whether it's, and a lot of good things came out of that, whether it's, focus on the family, did their Odyssey, Adventures in Odyssey, or Christian films or Christian music. And there's a place for that.
Or even VeggieTales.
Yeah, VeggieTales.
That has some success.
Oh, still love VeggieTales.
Yeah.
Instead of placing ourselves in the secular, and in our perspective, there is no secular versus sacred. It's all sacred.
And it's all God's.
It's all God's anyway. What do you see your role in helping creatives get back into the mainstream industries of entertainment?
Well, again, I think it's taking off the pressure that we just have to allow. In other words, the qualification that we have to be the best in order for us to have influence.
Just show up. Mm-hmm.
Show up, show love. Yeah. Let the word of your testimony be the word of your testimony. Nobody can discount your story. It's your story, and it's your experience with Jesus and with Papa God. And not saying that you have to quote chapter and verse, and not saying that you have to make people feel uncomfortable or you're shaming people because they don't know Christ or not following Christ. But as Jesus walked the earth and was who he was, he attracted people to him, but he also repelled people. There is going to be a fight. There is going to be some uncomfortable seasons and some people that are just going to be nasty and ugly. And again, going back to identity and not looking at man and woman to be a validation of who you are. You already know who you are. So being able to show up and be that living epistle, that image of God, and that you're walking hand in hand with him, and that he's not a crutch, he's an empowerment. He's like carrying a battery charger with you. You'll never run dry.
It reminds me, our mutual friend, Noah Elias.
Noah Elias, yeah.
I love how Noah brings his art to the world, specifically Disney, but other places. But and I just look at his stuff and it's just so cool. And he's airbrushing and he has all these cool stories of God coming alive in him but he's right there in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And I love how he just shows up and he's just Noah. Mm-hmm. And he's bringing that crazy, amazing art to the world. Mm-hmm. And they just keep wanting more of it. Yeah. And I think that's a good picture of walking in our glory. Mm-hmm. You're not diminishing anybody else. You're not stepping in to take somebody else's role because you have a role.
Well, I think what you're touching on here, and I don't want to turn it into just one word, but I think it has merit: authenticity.
Yes. Yeah. And it's an overused word, but it's good. I mean, the true authenticity is, it's that place of, like you said, it's the fingerprint. And if all of us have a finger, especially in the entertainment world, if we're called into that, that means your role doesn't diminish anybody else's. Mm-hmm. And there really is no competition, because if you show up and do your art, or do your whatever your role is, then you're allowing others to do theirs. Now, there's a dilemma there. If you're in an industry with others under strongholds, there's some pretty horrible symptoms. Mm-hmm. And we look at whether it's the Me Too movement, of all this ugliness coming out and sexual abuse, or all whatever power does, right? The crunch, killing people's lives just in families physically, taking away from that. What's the best way to, I guess, shore up and protect yourself if you are a person in the industry up against these other people's strongholds and struggles?
That's a really good question. I think there's always and we talked a little bit about this morning, I think in Jesus' time, there always seems to be this anxiety to have an answer right away.
Right.
Okay. And that would be nice. A lot of time it's not real. A lot of times, why does the Bible talk about waiting on the Lord? A lot of times you just have to marinate on something. If you see somebody with a stronghold and it's starting to affect you and it's starting to come on you, and you're like, I can feel it kind of crawl up, up to my knees and up to my chest and whatever, well, first you recognize what that is, and you get clean and you get free from it. But then you actually just start taking it into prayer and just asking the Holy Ghost, hey, you knitted this person together. You know their heart. I don't. I can't see it. But what would you like me as a vessel and as a child of God? How would you like to use me as an instrument to speak life and truth into this person? Or do I need to pray for somebody else to come and do it as well? That doesn't necessarily always have to be me, but you're submitting back to the Father.
Yeah.
It's like Jesus said, I only speak what my Father says to speak. I only do and go where my Father says to go. Well, God didn't tell him to do this all the time. There were times where he had to go in the wilderness and he had to seek it.
Right.
And he had to be patient. And a lot of times patience is an ugly, bad word in this society in the 21st century. Nobody has patience. It's always busy, busy. You know, produce. But patience, like you were even talking about this morning, Chris, patience, let it have its perfect work. In order for that to happen, you have to have rest. John, you were talking about rest as well. And so that's a lot of times there isn't an answer right away.
Right.
But if you seek first the kingdom, if you really go before the Holy Ghost and just saying, I would love to be able to have some insight into how I can be used to speak into that situation of that individual. It's submitting. It's absolute submission again to God and not getting back to performance like, oh, I have to do something.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to this, but it occurs to me that it's worth saying that an individual artist only has so much. They only have control over themselves. If there's a company, so whatever, you know, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but the idea that if there is an industry normal of just grinding through people, I don't know that you can change that, but it can be aware of like, what are my own boundaries,
right? Yeah.
And probably the closest thing I can think about is basically Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like they're just injected into a machine against their will. Right? It's the whole Babylonian thing, and they had to, in some ways, submit and adapt and then bless, right? Bless the people that are over them. I think about Daniel's ability to bless Nebuchadnezzar, despite it all, is shocking.
Right,
right. At the same time, that they are aware of their own boundaries. Like this far, I'm being honoring, I'm being submitted to whatever. But this far is dishonoring my God, and I won't go that far. Right, I'm not going to bow to the golden pickle or whatever it was. Going back to VeggieTales.
Yeah.
And but they're willing to say like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And that takes an incredible amount of integrity,
right?
But also, really knowing who your dad is, right? Like, I love what those three guys say. Is like, we think that God will save us from the fiery furnace in this case, but even if He doesn't, too bad. But like, it's not about that.
Yeah, but if not, and I think it's having that proper. I go back to the story that you just told about. Here's this producer saying, "Yeah, you're an okay artist, but that's not why we hired you."
Like, yeah.
You were at a point at that time where you could take that.
Right.
Because you say that to somebody else and you blow up.
Yeah, I realized that a long time ago, that my art was good. It wasn't to what I would say great as a lot of the other artists out there. But that wasn't the point.
Well, it's humility.
It was.
We talk about this, these stages of a man or a woman's life. Mm-hmm. And there's this time of the 30s where you're learning humility. And I remember my 30s were, oh my word, like every turn I took, because I had said yes to God, I want to grow, I want to learn, constantly humiliating me. Like some of it was pretty bad in every kind of situation, thwarting me, reminding me like, yeah, you are not it. Like, you know, you're reminding me who I am and then also humbling me. But it's at this place of a decade of not stepping up into higher seats, not choosing leadership roles, not like over and over and over, to the point where by the time I did get a piece of leadership, I was a totally changed person. I wasn't the same man. And I could hear, like last night we were at a leadership meeting, and One of our members in the leadership, this is at Boot Camp Northwest, said, "Y'all talk a lot. Y'all you need to shut up more and listen." And I'm he's looking at me. And I'm like,
"Don't."
Oh.
but you don't understand. I got good things to say.
Right. But seriously, 20 years ago, I would have wanted, well, if I had punched him, he's a pretty big guy, it would have taken me out.
If you could reach him.
Oh, boy. It would be like.
White man can't jump.
Put my hand on my forehead as I swung. I would have been angry. I would have been taken out for maybe a month or more.
Yeah.
I would have been spiteful. And, but instead, thank God I've had that time and I took it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. And I want to change. Mm-hmm. Help me change. Tell me more. Like you just said that, but you're not saying everything.
Yeah.
So there's this piece of, it just takes time. And yeah. I think you nailed it. Like patience is not a very popular word today.
Yeah.
We have instant, Instagram,
right.
You know, like I mean, everything's Insta.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I think that creatives and folks can learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll benefit them in the long run.
It really will. I think just quieting yourself, and it doesn't have to be a year. It doesn't even have to be, you know, I mean, geez, we have the pause app. I can do it in 60 seconds.
Right.
It's amazing.
Perspective.
It's perspective. It's amazing when you start just kind of just taking that moment and just stopping yourself and letting the whirlwind die down a little bit and letting kind of the God ray come down on you and having that moment of perspective and God just saying, hey, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
I love the crap out of you. I think I just am absolutely adore you. And I've given you gifts and talents and anointings and I'm with you.
Mm.
And I think that's just the thing is, you know, we get so caught up in information and busyness that we do feel alone. And I think it's only in those moments of pause and rest that we realize that, no, God's with us. And we need to take that requisite time, however long that is for any individual. And like I said, again, get perspective and come back into our identity and let God just love on us. It's okay. You shouldn't have to apologize for that. You shouldn't have to get into shame for that. God loves you.
I think this was yesterday we were talking about one of, the aspects of creativity. And in this regard, it's a pretty broad word because it can include, certainly can include arts, but it could also include code. It can include a wide variety of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this idea of generating something new, to kind of broadly say, and you made this idea that the risk of it all is vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
is this ability to throw your hat into the ring, so to speak.
Yeah.
And how that notion of like,
well, there is, it's like there is no
spoon. So risky.
There is no ring. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you are literally just throwing in something new, which I think your point, what you're getting at is scary.
It's scary.
And again, it comes back to, well, what are you scared of?
Yeah.
And where are you getting that validation from?
Yeah.
Or who's judging that?
Right.
Certainly not God.
Yeah.
God's saying, oh no, you actually need to go a little bit further.
Yeah.
You need to go a little bit deeper. I love it how Christians, especially creatives, artists, even, and writers, how they feel like they have to protect God.
Yeah.
You know, and so they limit themselves. You know, it's like there's been things that I've wanted to draw that have been, ooh, creepy as hell. I mean, just eerie, grisly looking stuff. But I can't do that because I'm a Christian. What if people get the wrong idea?
Right.
You know, and the Holy Ghost later quickened me and says, why are you protecting me? This is why I'm the God of angel armies, you know,
yeah.
Christ willingly, the Bible says, willingly gave up his life. You know, when the centurion gave him the sour wine and he looked up to heaven, he says, it is finished. And then the Bible talks about in the Amplified, it says he willingly gave up. He didn't have to. He willingly gave up his life.
Yeah.
You know, it's again, perspective.
Chris, you were talking about the story of like Michelangelo, like, and David. Was it the marble?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how I think of that, like, here's this stone, and out of that comes this image, you know, and you hear these stories over and over, like these amazing sculptures inspired by God. But you can't do that if you're holding back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, like,
yeah.
You go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see an artist or anybody, no matter what they do, really go for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we see breakthroughs. That's where we see masterpieces. That's
yeah.
where we see worlds change.
That's where we see risk,
yeah.
You know, and again, getting back to the vulnerability issue, you know, it's impossible. I know Dr. Brené Brown, who talks about shame and vulnerability, yeah. and she illustrates this so wonderfully about how it is almost impossible to deliver and manifest something creatively without having vulnerability stitched yeah. right next to it, you know, and delivering that out for judgment.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is, you know. Critique, we like to say critique, it's judgment.
It is.
You know, when I see an artist's work, immediately the reaction is, I'm judging you. You know, it's like, that's not that good. Your lines are bent, your color's off, you drew outside the lines, whatever it is, you know, but I'm just joking. But at the same time, that's how, as an individual, as a creative, as a talent, you're putting that out there for ridicule, for judgment. That's where our sin nature immediately goes. And, you know, again, if we have perspective and we understand that we have been given these gifts and these anointings and God has blessed us with that and God is honored by us walking and partnering with them and whatever it is we turn our hand to, it's blessed. Yeah. And as God said when he made the world and when he stepped into his creativity, he said, it is good. And we have to be okay that it is good.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
I was thinking about, so there's always like an infinite variety of strongholds, basically bad ideas, right? Stinking thinking.
Stinking thinking.
You've got the best. I could fill up a book of your little quips.
But it occurs to me that with art in particular, with creativity in particular, how often we get all wrapped up in our own heads, just kind of the hamster wheel of thinking. Mm. And if we don't allow that spirit, that heart of us, to come out, to be vulnerable, to be honest, whatever's, whether it's that, you know, that grizzly piece you're talking about or something else that might seem maybe cheesy or
right.
like, who knows, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I think about in the broader category of how strongholds stop creativity is because we get all wrapped up in our heads.
Well, we talk about this as kids. Every single child is an artist.
Because they don't think about it.
They don't think about it. Every child draws, and I talked about this before, every child draws until someone tells them they can't draw. Or
yeah.
they, like, I love my sister's an art teacher and an artist herself. And she always taught me as I, you know, we started having kids that when they bring their drawing to your picture, like, never say, what is that? You always say, tell me about it. Because if you say, what is that? They're like, wait a second, you don't see?
You can't tell. That's you,
and
mommy.
That's the beginning of the end of that artist. And, wow. and they're like, well, if he doesn't see it or she doesn't see it, then this must not be right. And, oh, and then they start filtering and they start, like, changing. And then some of them give up.
Wow.
Whereas if you're like, tell me about this, then mm-hmm. it opens up. And they're like, well, this color does this. And here's a butterfly. Or,
yeah.
And as soon as you can, I guess that just kills me because you start to see that start to tear, it's like fissures.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the agreements, whatever you want to call it, and then the strongholds come in and protection mm-hmm. and, like you said, imposter and poser, like it just starts to build and build and build. And by the time maybe we have someone in front of us that's, and we're going there, mm-hmm. a lot of them don't even know what their art is anymore.
Well, it's really interesting because it's interesting that you said that about your kids instead of saying, what is that? It's like, you know, tell me about that. It's a nice way to frame it. One of the things that I've done with my kids growing up when they have presented me art pieces, and I have been guilty of saying, what is that? You know, so I'm not going to sit here like I'm some kind of angel of light, you know, no way. Nah, I'm fallible. Anyways, one of the things that I, in my professional career, is have learned to say, because I'm critiquing and I'm giving feedback and I'm providing direction to artists a lot and all the time, and I'm getting paid to do this, but it's just something I love to do. One of the things I always try and throw in is recognizing how much work they put into it.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work. I really appreciate the amount of time
That's
you took
good.
On that. I really appreciate the amount of work that you put into this. And what that does, and this is something that I've noticed even with a younger generation, is the fact that if they're not good at something immediately, they'll punt it. They'll yeah. eject it and they'll try something else, which is mm-hmm. fine. But at the same time, some things take time
yeah.
to mastery. You know, we can do a whole course on that, you know, a whole talk on mastery. And so I'm always trying to inject the fact of, hey, the work is awesome. I recognize the struggle, struggle that this took. And I want to make sure that I'm always bookending that along with critique or just, hey, I really think that's beautiful or I think that's great or whatever that might be. But again, giving place and recognizing the work and the effort that that took, it's in a sense giving, again, permission to that individual that, yeah, you know what, these things do take, it's giving them perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this does take work and it's okay. That it takes work.
Because we want them to keep doing
Absolutely.
It. Because the way you get to mastery or you find out what really works mm-hmm. is you keep doing it.
Absolutely.
You never stop. Mm-hmm. And you keep throwing things out into the world. And mm-hmm. in the process, you keep getting better.
Yeah.
But you won't know until something zings or resonates yeah. with somebody unless you have a mm-hmm. dozen things. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
So, John, I appreciate the work that you do for this podcast. I recognize the effort that you put into setting up the mics and setting up the sound. It is an effort.
I was thinking about the same thing.
We just don't click our fingers.
You put things out into the world. And I think that's a common thing. Like people want to write a book or they want to have a podcast or they want to, you name it. But most people don't realize it takes, I remember I talked about this a long time ago, Chris Brogan. Who's Seth Godin, any of these big bloggers, I tell people this all the time, they think new ones come out and they're like, they think they hatched out of an egg.
Right.
As the most popular, like Seth Godin is the most popular blog in the world. It didn't start out that way, but he blogs every single day.
That's amazing.
For decades.
Decades. And so, like, of course, like he tells people that all the time. You have to ship. Yeah. You have to ship daily, like get it out there, get out something to the world. Because in the process, mastery happens. Mm-hmm. You learn shading better. You learn words better. Mm-hmm. You learn what doesn't work. You fail and fail often. And that's good.
Yeah.
I've really loved to embrace those, what would seem the antithesis of a best practice of what not to do.
Yeah.
That is a best practice.
Yeah. Well, Gary Vaynerchuk, we talk about him a lot.
Oh, Gary V, yeah.
And you know, Gary V throws stuff out there constantly. But after over time, he's learned this works, this doesn't work, that mm-hmm. was dumb. Mm-hmm. And it's this freedom. I would say, and going back to strongholds, you're free. When you're free, you're not being held back by things. And you're not going after, we call them the less wild lovers. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, you name it. What's your poison? You're not like, you know, hitting the bottle at night because it's such a painful day. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, abusing somebody because, you know.
You're taking it out on somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But you're creating and you're putting stuff out into the world.
Mm-hmm. So as we're just talking, you remember John 10:10, Jesus is all, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was suddenly struck by this idea like, okay, so if that's what the enemy does, what does God do? He gives gifts. He brings life.
Yeah.
And he makes shit. Right. Yeah. Like this idea, like the antithesis of what the enemy does. Creativity is cooked into that.
Yeah. In mm-hmm.
way. Just making stuff because making stuff is good. Mm-hmm. Making stuff is holy. And whether that's a painting or a podcast or whatever else, like it's literally bringing order.
Right.
And if you want to use the words like it's ruling and subduing, it's bringing order to a chaotic place. Mm-hmm. And I just suddenly struck me like that's really powerful.
Yeah. I
cussed, didn't I, on the podcast?
That's okay.
What?
I'll give you that.
What did you say? What word was it?
No, don't say it. Don't say it again. It's interesting as we talked about kids who are free of these strongholds and how Jesus said, you need to come to me as little children. Mm-hmm. Like they inherit the kingdom. Like that's who gets it.
Yeah.
And Adam and Eve, naked and free, like, mm-hmm. and beautiful and given this amazing role and how the enemy came in and started that, John. But that's a place that we're getting back to.
Yeah.
The God, that Jesus, through Christ,
yeah.
we are given new life.
Yeah, he brought us back to the garden.
He did.
He brought us back to that holy place. Okay. So, I mean, we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world.
Right.
We're now children of the kingdom of light.
Oh, it's just like a breathing out a long breath of like, mm-hmm. It's not up to me.
Yeah.
It's good. And it's a whole new mindset.
Yeah.
And, all right. Well, yeah. I guess we're going on almost an hour on this, and that's a good wrap up. Anything, I guess, Mark, in your walk, in your journey, getting to that point where you're able to take that criticism of that producer, what are some resources that helped you that we could offer that up?
Well, again, not getting into spiritual or secular, resource that really helped me, a couple of them were Dr. Brené Brown.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay. Vulnerability and the shame that she talks about.
Her TED Talk where, like, she didn't want to do it, and then she was criticized, and now it's the most popular TED Talk
of all time. It's crazy. And even, to some degree, Simon Sinek, Start With Why.
Okay.
And that's really interesting. Simon kind of brings up this golden circle where the outside is the what, the middle is the how, and the center is the why. A lot of times we go up to somebody and say, hey, what do you do? How do you do it? Why do you do it? And what he was getting at, and this is something that the Holy Ghost loves to mine out in people, is why? Why do you do what you do? What makes you come alive? That's the questions that we really need to answer instead of getting to the mechanics of it. Well, what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? It's like, no. That's all symptomatic.
Yeah.
Why do you want to do what it is you want to do? And then radiate outward from that circle to partner with the Holy Ghost in answering those other questions. But it has to start with a core passion, a core drive, again, what makes you come alive, what it is that you, really feel gifted and called to do.
You've used that phrase, what makes you come alive, and I remember it comes from a quote. I can't remember who quoted it, but it was this idea, like, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, because that's what the world needs.
Yes.
People who are alive.
Who said that? Because I know I've, I haven't coined that quote. I knew I grabbed it from somewhere. It just, the name escapes me, but it's really good nonetheless.
Yeah,
very, very profound.
Yeah.
What makes you guys come alive?
And just even just to think about that with a creative perspective, for those folks that creativity, whatever shape it takes, that is what makes them come alive. That's all the reason you need.
Mm-hmm.
Like you bring that passion, that joy to the world, mm-hmm. and it gives other people permission to live because you went first. It's so funny how often people will come up around Soma and they're like, you exist. The fact that you exist, that you do this thing, means I can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if that's all you get out of it, like, that's huge.
Right. It's well, permission. It's
again, permission. Getting back to Gary Vaynerchuk, he always says that one is greater than zero.
Right.
Exactly. Even if it just, and even it talks about in the Bible how Jesus left the 99 to go after the one. It's all about the one.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in this society and in this culture, we have to do the big, we have to do the grand, we have to have, we really can't call ourselves as arrived or qualified unless we have over 100K of followers or our podcast is syndicated and or whatever that might be. And it's like, no, it's just the one is greater than zero.
Just go do it.
Take that pressure off yourself. Please take that pressure off yourself and understand that God's kingdom is eternal.
We used to say these with events. It's like, would you do the boot camp event in this case? Would you do it for one person if you change your life?
Yeah.
And as soon as you put it like that, you're like, it really puts you on the spot because is the answer yes?
Yeah.
And for this, for podcast, whether it's Dennis or Shara or whoever else, like the idea, like, I don't want to say that I'm doing it for that person, but in a very real way, we are, right? Yeah. And so we were just having this discussion, like, how would we, this is the typical business, conversations like, how do you measure it, right? What are your key KPIs? And I think that we came
key
to the
performance indicators.
Yeah.
KPIs, yes.
And so with regard to SoulWorks, I think we came to the point that says it would be the wrong idea to measure it at all. Makes me think about, David, don't take a census. I think measuring it actually would hurt it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Because you start to think.
Well, performance.
What's going to tweak this better is rather than just being ourselves and getting it. All right. Well, awesome. I think this is good. One other resource that we mentioned on a couple podcasts ago was the Art of War.
Oh yeah, the War of Art.
The other
I knew what you were talking about, though.
It's good too, but
not the same way.
But Stephen Pressfield's. That's such a good one that I've enjoyed. A lot of Seth Godin's work has helped me kind of get past
Seth Godin.
The hesitation to publish.
I would point out, so just for different disciplines, on moral fiction for authors,
Mm-hmm. Fantastic book.
About What's writing. It called?
On Moral Fiction John Gardner. Yeah. Hmm. Great book.
Yeah, Stephen King's On Writing is a good one, too. So there's a lot. We'll put these in the show notes. But thanks, guys. This has been great. Thank you for listening to this whole series, listeners on the Strongholds. And that's a wrap.
Groovy.
All right. Talk to you next time.